There's so much good stuff in the scriptures this morning. I had trouble picking out what I really wanted to talk about, and what I really want to talk about is something that's important to each of us, and it's an interesting part of the gospel, interesting part of a side of Jesus we don't see, and that's anger. So good morning, church. And good morning to you, God. So not too long ago, I read a book titled The Searcher. And this main character is a police officer who's trying to retire. He's from Chicago, and he goes to Ireland because he has some family roots there or something. And he buys a little fixer-upper, and he's visited by a young boy who actually turns out to be a girl. And she just kind of asserts herself into Cal's life. This girl, Trey, she's from extreme poverty. She's not clean. She's not well-dressed. She has holes in her shoes. And Cal takes her under his wing, even if slightly reluctantly. And he lets her hang around with the caveat that she has to help work on the house. So as time goes on, Trey feels comfortable, and she brings up the fact to Cal that he was a police officer. Apparently, her brother had been missing for some time, and she wanted Cal to find him. And Cal said, "No, I'm retired." Trey couldn't take this, and out of anger, she lashed out and destroyed some property. And as these things unfolded, Cal processed the acts against him and realized that Trey was letting him know how deep her pain was over the loss of her older brother. And so often anger in our lives covers up our pain and or is a result of our pain. So Cal thinks there might be a connection between the disappearance of her brother and some of the gang and drug connections that were going on in Dublin. So he changes his mind, and he decides that he will indeed search for Trey's brother. I was a little indignant when I was reading about how Trey tried to deface his home, and how she tried to lash out against him because he said no. But see, Trey was in trouble. She was thought to be trouble because her father had been trouble. And the community just assumed that she was a throwaway. But Cal decided to come to her and listen to what she had to say, get past the anger, which is a human emotion that is acceptable, and then to engage in search for truth, the truth that can move us past anger that destroys us. In the reading of John today, we hear about the anger of Jesus. And we know that Jesus did not preach and teach from a place of anger, but from a place of compassion. Yes, in our scripture today, Jesus expressed his anger, his profound disbelief of how the temple was transformed from a place of worship to a place of deception. We know that Jesus did not live into his anger. He went forward in peace and love. But the passage that we read today is sometimes used as a prop to give Christians permission to act out in anger. Even when there's something, we have righteous anger, just like any other emotion, it's important that we explore why we are angry. What are we angry about? And how can we change our anger to compassion and understanding? Some people say, well, look, Jesus was angry. Look what he did in the temple. I'm going to go out and destroy this in the name of Jesus. It happens. And it's unfortunate that this might be one of the most popular applications of this text to some people's lives. Certainly, Jesus' anger makes him fully human. So, what I propose is that the focus of this text is not simply Jesus' anger and the fact that Jesus was fully human and he had this emotion and he expressed it. It's not about his aggressive action of slinging a whip around. It's not his concern that they were trading the Roman coins with Caesar's picture on them for temple coins, and the temple leaders were making money on the exchange because you couldn't use the coins, the Roman coins, to buy sacrifice animals for the temple. But what I find the point to be is the promise that Jesus gives us of the restoration of the temple that he will build in 3 days. Nobody quite got it. Jesus was referring, of course, to him as the temple and his resurrection being the restoration of that temple. So today the scriptures demonstrate how we can use anger as a way to clean our spiritual house and move on to a place of compassion. Jesus was clearing the house of things of the world that people had made into the focus of their worship. He declares that he will rebuild what God created. Anger is useful. It's a vehicle by which we can clear out all the junk that is littering ourselves, ourself, our soul, as the vessel of God's essence. We are the dwelling place of the message of love, the love of God, the source of the light of Christ to the world. It's not useful to clutter up that dwelling place. And Jesus made it clear that he is the ultimate temple, not the building. He will rebuild it in a totally different way, so far beyond their imagination that it's not until after the resurrection that the truth really sinks in. We have to think about understanding Jesus as a form of a place of resting, a place when we can go where things are overwhelm us. And through the anger and the violence of the cross, we find redemption. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our sense of love and compassion. So we have to sweep out all the trash in our heart and our soul and restore the temple that houses Jesus with love. Each one of us houses our Savior in our heart and our soul. In the novel, Trey expresses her anger in the only way she knows how. She lashes out and inflicts pain. And Cal is able to replace his anger with understanding and compassion, with forgiveness. Yeah, you know, anger's going to come knocking on your door, but so will Jesus. Which one will you allow to take up residence? I invite you to celebrate that Jesus came among us and communicate that good news to the world, to pray and meditate on what anger we need to give up, to donate and dedicate time to loving God first, as we read in the commandments, and above all else, to love ourselves as God loves us, to love one another with the same love that God offers to us. We as a church are about to embark on a new journey. As we travel this journey, we need to focus on creating a place where if Jesus were to come through that door, come here to visit, he would look around and be well pleased. I pray that we will remember that while we are the church of God, God is the creator of the church. The church lives in us, but we didn't create it. God did. And in our desire to grow, it's paramount that we remember that God is the one that will transform us, the one that will transform this place. But we have to be loyal and we have to be listening to what it is that God wants us to do. So I invite you in the name of Jesus to let us listen to the will of God, asking constantly, God, what do you want to happen here? To practice the way of love, And there's a practice for a Jesus-centered life called the Way of Love. And I meant to bring you cards today, and I'll have those next week. But it was developed by Bishop Curry. And the keys to it are that we need to turn to God. We need to learn about God. We need to pray, worship, bless, go, and rest. Today, we haven't sung it yet. One of the things that we'll sing is something called Change My Heart, O God. It was written by a man named Eddie Espinoza in 1982. He'd been a Christian for some time, but he saw a lot of things that needed in his life that needed to be discarded. He became complacent, and he acknowledged his complacency, and he prayed to God, "The only way that I can follow you is for you to change my appetite, the things that draw me away. Change my heart, God," Eddie continued. Shortly thereafter, he was in his car on the way to work, and he felt a desire to draw near to God. And with the wrestling still going on in his heart, a melody and some words began to flood through his mind. As he stopped at a stop sign, he reached for something to write on, and the first thing he found was a small piece of yellow paper. He says he still has it to this day. He began to write as quickly as he could. It was almost, he said, like he was taking dictation. He wrote the words on the paper and then kept the melody in his mind. The essence of Eddie's song is a prayer asking God to change us, to make our hearts true, and changing us into his own image. So get out your brooms and your dustpans and sweep away all the clutter of your heart and soul, in your heart and soul, and make way for the risen Christ that will come among us. Amen.